61.
Co-host this week is Christopher O'Brien. We'll talk about our guests very shortly, but right now, let's kind of bring things up to date on current events. And there is an editorial that you wrote for the Paracast newsletter, which we'll go into in a moment, but I read a story, what was it, a week or two ago, claiming that the UN had appointed someone to become the ambassador to E.T. And everybody's saying, ha, 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 ho, ho, ho. The UN does a lot of wacky things. And now we're hearing what? This is not true?
What, Stephen Greer isn't our ambassador to the universe? What's up with that?
Well, I guess he wishes he were, but that's $800 a pop if you want his services, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's for you to become one of humankind's ambassadors to the universe.
Oh, I see. So he's the gatekeeper.
I'm not sure if he's gay, but yeah, he definitely is.
Uh-oh, something.
Gatekeeper?
Gatekeeper.
Oh, gatekeeper. Oh, I'm sorry, Gene. I'm not sure if he's the gatekeeper, but he's sure creating lots of little ambassadors to the universe out there, all raring to climb on board and represent our species' interest out there in the big, bad beyond. Good beyond, sorry.
The thing I wonder about, of course, is this. Even if you say you're the ambassador and E.T. comes a-calling, E.T. doesn't have to accept your credentials. They could say, no, we don't want you. You know, take us to Obama, take us to Castro, take us to the head of China, you know.
Take us to
somebody in the desert and give them some pancakes.
Here you go, Joe.
Do you remember Joe Symington?
Of course.
Right. E.T. Yeah. Gives him pancakes. And the reason he did that, by the way, the reason he staged that, I suspect it's because his wife said, you're a horrible cook. You can't even make pancakes. You know. So, you know, this stuff is from outer space.
Or strictly from hunger.
Well, you're going to remain hungry if you try to eat those pancakes, I'll tell you that much.
Hey, sprinkled with a little magnesium.
Is that what does it?
Yeah, in a hair of zinc. Maybe some aluminum silicate on top just for kind of a flavor.
Okay, well, let me just write this down. Ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to, if you hate somebody with a lot of passion, write this down very carefully. And I'm not responsible, and certainly we're going to, you know, have a legal disclaimer here at the end of the show. We are not responsible for the consequences if you attempt to make pancakes from
this.
This
is bad humor. Do not attempt this at home.
No. This is kind of like this silly joke that the late Soupy Sales once told on TV, where he says, hey, kiddies, you go into that big bag that your mommy keeps, and inside there's a little thing called a change purse or a wallet. Open it up, take out all the money, and send it to me.
Send it to Uncle Soupy.
Yes, and Uncle Soupy got suspended from TV, I think, for that one.
Yep.
Let's talk about the newsletter. We have a newsletter available if you go to newsletter.theparacast.com, newsletter.theparacast.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter, and we don't inundate you with all sorts of crazy sales pitches. You know, it's primarily the newsletter and a few other special announcements. In any case, you had a guest editorial this past week. The title being, Are UFOs Now Being Taken Seriously? Do you think they are?
I think it's three steps forward, two steps back.
What are the two steps back before we get to the three steps forward?
Well, it's just the whole subject makes, I think, the media in general, each anchor, reporter, local news person, I think that there's still a bit of a kind of a nervous giggle and twitch in their demeanor. But I think it's changing, especially in the mainstream media. National and international media, I think, is really starting to step up and look at this and give it a little bit of gravitas. Although I did see a MSNBC, I think, had a English UFO expert on, and they showed what is clearly an insect, a large beetle flying, zipping right across in front of the camera. Of course, it's being misconstrued as a UFO, and I think there's a downside to taking these things seriously as well. If you're looking at something that's obviously an artifact and you take it seriously and present it as the real thing, along with the word extraterrestrial, then I think you're doing as much harm as you are if you belittle the subject.
The problem you get there, of course, is people look at it and say, no, that's fake. Therefore, all UFOs are fake. It can't be ET. This is absurd.
Exactly. I mean, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario, unfortunately. But we're making progress and getting through it.
Well, one of the things I think that actually helped was Leslie Kane's book on UFOs, because she had all these former military officials coming in there, contributing chapters, talking about their sightings. And I saw her on TV, and she made a pretty solid presentation, except for the way she was handled at Fox News. Now, Fox News can do weird stuff. And the way the set is situated, it wasn't just her with a backdrop. She was standing, but then it looked like the host and the co-host were on a platform looking down at her. Now, maybe it's because she's short and they are taller people. I don't know. I don't know what Leslie Kane's height is. But she looked totally overwhelmed by these people. And she's doing a great performance, and the questions are pretty reasonable, except they were kind of snarky as they closed off the session. But, you know, it looks like she's looking up at these serious newscasters. And I thought the vibe it created was really bad.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to maybe have our listeners fire off an email or two to Fox News.
As if that's going to help.
Hey, every little bit helps, you know.
In any case here, before we discuss what this week's episode is about, where do you think this is going? Is there enough serious research now, enough cooperation that maybe we can get some headway after all these years?
You know, I really think there is, Gene. I think we're starting to find out, I think collectively, that our preconceptions, our front-loading, if you will, about what we're dealing with here in terms of the UFO phenomenon and the paranormal in general, I think what we're seeing is that just isn't washing anymore. People are realizing that, hey, we've been saying the same thing about this mystery for so long, and yet we're not really seeming to make any headway. So it's the Ray Stanfords, the Ted Phillips, the Douglas Trumbull and his new multi-million dollar Hummer that he's outfitted as a mobile UFO research laboratory. I think it's efforts like that in the realm of hard science that are really going to reinvigorate and re-excite people into the actual hard science aspect of this whole phenomenon. I think that's where we're going to be headed. And it's, I think we're actually headed in the right direction if that's the case.
It won't be TV shows like The Event.
Well, no, I don't think so. Unfortunately, it's, I think the TV shows have been doing more harm than good. Sure, people are more open to the subject, but they're being programmed with, I think, sort of knee-jerk interpretations of what we're dealing with, which may not be accurate, which probably are not accurate.
Well, you know, it's still the same problem, which is UFOs equal ET. And we've been saying on the Paracast for 4.5, close to 5 years now, that, okay, maybe it is ET, but we can't dismiss lots of other possibilities. Neighbors, I just want to let you know that our guest last week, Anthony Sanchez, has behaved in a very strange way since that episode. We got a letter from him where he said some sort of devastating event forced him to leave the UFO field. He temporarily closed his site and canceled publication of his book, UFO Highway. The very next day, he decided to change his mind. The book will be available first as an e-book. He's back in the field. Folks, you figure it out. Today's discussion has nothing whatsoever to do with UFOs.
Well, we have an investigative associate of mine who I've actually done a bit of work with out in the field in some of the more haunted sites in the Midwest. Michael Esposito is an amazing guy. He's a groundbreaking electronic voice phenomenon expert. He's been examining this whole emerging proto-scientific field of electronic voice phenomenon from a very new and different way. He's very creative with his knowledge and techniques and approaches to capturing what appear to be disembodied voices on electronic media, obviously in an audio recording.
We are going to present some of those recordings on this episode of the Paracast with Michael Esposito. Coming up next, our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
I think I would have done better with Nicholas Redfern's laughter. Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Good day, Peter Kranchnabel from Midas Resources. Today is October 15th, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $1,383.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,419.74, $709.87 for a half ounce, and $354.93 for a quarter ounce. $1,419.74, $709.87, and $354.93.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm, warning of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. CBO is drawing a parallel between U.S. economy and the Greek economic meltdown. Debt to GDP climbing to unfamiliar territory and deficits rising to unsupportable levels. Hi, Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risks of deficit spending, aging population, and rising interest rates spells economic disaster. Call today at 800-686-2237. I'll send it free. Again, call 800-686-2237. Ask for the CBO document. Call 800-686-2237.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, tow line, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
In confusing times, would a simple outlook on health and beauty make sense?
If you're tired of taking dry vitamins without noticing any results, then the Bogdana Nutritional Formula is for you. Easy to take and absorb.
The absorption of liquids is 98% in comparison to only 20% for dry vitamins.
For the past 25 years, Bogdana Rejuvenating Nutritional Formula has been proven to get results.
Detox, nourish, and rejuvenate your body with this one-of-a-kind supplement that contains 150 natural and organic nutrients.
And a one-month supply is less than a dollar per day.
Take charge of your health and feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins or your money back.
Go to BogdanaLiquidVitamins.com or call 1-800-234-5608.
That's BogdanaLiquidVitamins.com or call 800-234-5608. Give your body what it needs and it will perform miracles in return.
For inner health and outer beauty, feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins today.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Well, I hope somebody
listens. You're alive. Well, I think that's going to be a top recording on the Adult Contemporary charts, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Our guest is Michael Esposito, and we're here to talk about EVP, which is not a drug that you take. You know, one of the ones you see on TV where if you take EVP, what's going to happen is if you basically don't follow the requirements, you're going to suffer from 26,000 different side effects. What is EVP, Michael?
Well, I always recommend if people start doing EVP and they start seeing green to discontinue usage immediately. EVP, or electronic voice phenomena, is a phenomena that has been noticed ever since we've had the ability to record human voice. It's recording voices of unknown origin or sounds of unknown origin. Some people claim that these sounds are from extraterrestrial in nature, and some people feel that these sounds are from voices from the dead, either something in a residual mode that was something spoken a long time ago and somehow captured in the atmosphere or in porous objects and regenerated somehow, or actual interactive voices with disembodied individuals.
Now, how was this discovered?
Actually, the first occurrence I have found of it being discovered was an individual, Vladimir Borgosis, who was part of a joint U.S. and Russian expedition to the northern regions of Alaska and Siberia. It was sort of an ethnographic expedition to record shaman and other indigenous peoples of Siberia, including the Chukchi and other tribes, and their folk song and things like that. Vladimir Borgosis was recording a Chukchi shaman in his tent alone, who was doing a particular incantation for communicating with the dead. And on his Edison wax cylinder recorder in 1901, captured voices in Russian and in English from individuals that weren't there or anyone near there at the time.
Did you actually hear the voices that were being recorded, or did you listen later and hear things that didn't manifest themselves physically?
Well, Vladimir claimed when he came out with it a few years later that he didn't hear any of the voices at the time, but on playback of the wax cylinders, he was able to hear them. The actual cylinders themselves are kept in Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana, in their cultural and ethnic music department. They have a great antique collection. But digital audio tapes of these recordings are also kept at the Museum of Natural Science in Washington. I was able to get copies of these after about 2 years of trying. They're really closely held. And I did find the recordings, and I did play them, and I was able to hear the voices that Vladimir claimed to have caught. Since then, there's been many, many instances during the 30s, the late 30s especially, and 40s, 50s, with a well-known figure, Friedrich Jurgensen, who was an opera singer, a papal artist, and an archaeologist who worked really closely with the Vatican, was recording for birdsong in his backyard and captured voices and captured voices of his mother calling him young Friedel, which was she was the only person that actually used that term for him. From that point, he ended up on some television shows and pretty famous in Sweden and throughout Europe. And electronic voice phenomena started to become known, more popular. Konstantin Rodive found out about his work and went and met Jurgensen and started his own research. From there, in America, Sarah Eastup had heard of Konstantin Rodive, and Raymond Cass in England had also heard about Konstantin Rodive and communicated with them, and the whole thing just started to blossom from there. Before that, in the 30s, Victor von Schlesi attempted some and was able to capture some voice phenomena. There was an incident where they captured some voices that they thought were German radio transmissions before World War II, And after the war, it was once they cross referenced the records of military communication and what have you, found that the communications were not theirs. And prior to 1901, even, I'd like to point out, I think it's fairly relevant that there were what I would deem not so much instrumental transcommunication ITC, but actually EVP, where a ship just off the site where the Titanic went down, a few years after the Titanic went down, actually was able to capture Morse code SOS transmissions from the Titanic and logged them. So there's even predating recorded sound. There was instances of the Morse code and other types of signaling, phantom signaling, if you will, for capture.
Okay, the sounds that were being recorded, and we'll hear a few samples in a few moments. The sounds that were being recorded, is it like an audible Rorschach test where you could basically think you hear something and maybe fill in the blanks, or are the voices or sounds distinct enough to know what's going on?
One of my favorite skeptics, and I'm consider myself a scientist, so I really, really like skeptical inquiry and people who have skeptical viewpoints, because it really keeps my work on my toes and keeps me going in new avenues of approach. Now, as far as pareidolia or audio Rorschach goes, I worked quite a long time with trying to recreate audio Rorschach and also working with speech pathologists. And based on the speech pathology work or the linguistic approach to it, there are many sounds that are created that can only be created by the human voice that animals and ambient, other types of ambient noises can't recreate. Of course, like the glottal stop, for instance, is one of them. And I did quite a bit of research and quite a bit of work on the audio Rorschach, and also try to recreate the audio Rorschach, and quite frankly, rustling leaves sound like rustling leaves, and even within the rustling leaves, I would capture these voices that laid on top of the ambient noise or the environmental noises that would have explained audio Rorschach.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of that in a moment, Michael.
Okay.
We have Michael Esposito, and Michael is going to be here to talk for the rest of the show about EVP and what it's all about, how the sounds are captured, what they might mean. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Okay, neighbors, here's the problem. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues are always going to be important. But business travel is a hassle, and it's often a complete waste of money. Well, here's a solution for you. Do more, travel less with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. With just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your own desk. Avoid the hassle of traveling and still exceed your sales goals. Plus, GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. Plus, voice over IP and phone conferencing is included. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit gotomeeting.com/podcast. Once again, GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Visit gotomeeting.com/podcast.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy, divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now, or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE, and cross food off your to-do list.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Chris O'Brien joins me as co-host this week. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. Michael Esposito is our guest. We're looking into the electronic voice phenomenon, EVP, trying to figure out what it's all about. Does it mean that we're actually hearing something from beyond, something from out there? Who knows? Now, Michael, is this something that you can just capture anywhere just by sticking a mic into a place where there's silence otherwise?
Yeah, actually, I've recorded with countless different types of tools and countless recording devices, everything from baby monitors to germanium crystal wire microphones, literally you name it, and different types of methods, holding the recorder, setting the recorder down, walking with the recorder, what have you. I found holding the recorder seems to take the person's electromagnetic energy that we all have and actually acts as an amplifier to the recording. I think one of the main points to bring out about recordings and something, I do a lot of research and develop a lot of theories on the work and call them postulates because obviously they're unproved. But one of the postulates I've been working on recently has a lot to do with microsound theory. And the origins of the vocoder and compression of sounds. I think one of the reasons we're able to capture electronic voice phenomena is that electronic voice phenomena is broken into nanoseconds of what we call microsound, little just fragments of duration. And unlike the classical idea of frequency duration, where the shorter the duration, the higher the frequency. I think more in the quantum physics end of it, in microsound theory, where they draw a distinct relationship between duration and frequency, showing that frequency is independent of duration, and you can actually have very short durations of sound that are in lower registers, lower frequencies. Our eardrums aren't able to pick them up.
I think, can we maybe define this a bit better? Not everybody out there is an audio engineer, has done commercial, post-production, et cetera, et cetera. So let's kind of take it from A, B, C, D. What does all this mean?
Yeah, basically, and again, let me just stipulate, this is just a theory that I'm working on, but we create sound through our diaphragm, pushing air up and creating pressure through our vocal cords and forming a sort of audio compression of that sound through our larynx and using our mouth and teeth, tongue, palate, what have you, and creating a compression of that sound that is able to be picked up by eardrums and diaphragms and microphones and stuff. Once we die, that energy, that very same energy that creates speech, retains the persistence of memory to create speech, although we don't have the faculties to do it anymore. So basically what we do is we use the ambient energy, the atmospheric molecules, and create nanoseconds or very small fragments of sound that can't normally be picked up by our eardrums. Now, the neat thing about it is, even if you're looking at electromagnetic recorders, diaphragms and microphones, or even more so and more actively in digital recorders, one of the common components you have is the ability to compress sound. Now, in the vocoder, the way the vocoder worked was it split up the sound, ran it alongside of electromagnetic noise, ran backwards, and then on the capturing end, recompressed it back into an audible voice, if you will, even though it sounded a little more mechanical. Now, I believe what's happening is that these persistence of memory, these attempts at communication or residual EVP, are able to be picked up by our recording devices because it's recompressing back into a format that our eardrums can hear upon playback, in a compressed format from some microsound state.
Okay. Chris, you want to pick up on this and explore it further?
Well, I think first of all, we are suspending our disbelief here when it comes to the actual disembodied voices aspect of this. Obviously, we haven't really proven scientifically that any sort of disincarnate or disembodied intelligence or sentience out there has the ability to communicate with sound without those mechanical devices that we all share, which is the diaphragm and the throat and the voice box and the various organs and parts that Michael listed out. So this is a theory that you've developed, in other words, which takes that leap and says, well, with persistence of memory, we do have somehow the ability to produce vocalizations, even though we don't have the apparatus to do that. Maybe you want to get into that a little deeper. What sort of evidence do we have to suggest that this is accurate?
Well, one of the things we can look at is we need to look at what we're made of. And basically, we're pretty much energy and chemistry. We're chemicals and we're electricity. The parts of us that make up our personality, our likes, our dislikes, our ability to function as far as knowing how to move and to speak and things we remember, all of our memory, everything is all contained within the electrical or the synaptic discharge in our bodies. Now, in Curlian photography or phantom limb theory, it's been shown to some critical acclaim, of course, that we lose an arm, we lose a finger, that if there's a Curlian photograph taken of it or an oral photograph taken of it, we can see the outline of where that electric pulse still remains and the pain that some of us feel, or we feel like we still have that hand or that finger and it still hurts. And phantom limb theory is the whole concept that we have a persistence of a continuity or a memory of continuance of this electrical field that remains around us. Once we die, that persistence of memory or that electricity, if it's like Einstein says, an energy can never be destroyed, then it remains in some state, either in a relaxed state or an inert state or in a kinetic state, an active state. So if that persistence of memory exists through the electrical energy that we carry with us in our life and then that is released upon our death, then it should remain constant, that it should be able to carry the impulses and the memory of speaking as well as personal memories and personality from when we were alive. I think Edison actually alluded to that persistence of memory in Scientific American Journal.
Why don't we have more EVP? Is it because people just aren't hearing it and it's there, or is there some sort of quality of emotional quality in the persistence of memory that is just enough to keep this the sentient self-aware sense alive in our everyday world, even though it's passed on? What do you think the actual elements are that allow for these this intelligence to be there in the first place? I mean, in terms of its agenda, I mean, some people pass over and they're never heard from again. Why do we hear from the ones that we do hear from?
And before you actually answer that question, let's hold that thought for a moment. And a reminder, everybody, we're talking about EVP with Michael Esposito this week on the Paracast. If you want to express your viewpoints, positive, negative, or somewhere in between, go to forum.paracast.com. That's forum.paracast.com. You just sign up in a couple of minutes, and then you're ready to participate. You can also write to us directly, news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. The co-host this week is Christopher O'Brien, who has worked with Michael on some of these things, which we'll learn about as we progress. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Hey neighbors, ever thought about creating a website? With HostGator, you can create your own website with your very own .com domain name. HostGator has a free site builder and thousands of design templates to create your website today. Whether you want to create a blog, a photo gallery, a family page, or a website for your business, HostGator has the right plan for you, starting at less than $5 a month for ultra-reliable website hosting with 99.9% uptime and true 24/7 live support available by phone, chat, or email, and based right here in the U.S. Don't be left without a website. It's more affordable and easier than you think. Sign up at technightowl.com/gator, that's G-A-T-O-R, to get the lowest possible price. At HostGator, that's technightowl.com/gator to get a special deal on all their web hosting services.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
This is Philip Rodno. You're listening to Paracast, one of the most informative shows out there. So listen closely.
Michael Esposito is here to talk about EVP. And a few sound effects, and later on we'll actually have some of his recordings to present. That way you can analyze what you hear and see what you think about them. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And prior to our station break, a very detailed question was asked of Michael from Chris O'Brien. Michael, how about the answer?
Actually, a very good question, and I have a couple ideas about that. One of them is obviously noise pollution. If we're working with nanoseconds of material, very fragmented, detailed, you know, very short in duration, fragments of sound that are traveling in sort of groups, then things like noise pollution is one of the things that we're experiencing that we've not had dealt with before. A long time ago, I used to hear stories about voices from the wood or people hearing, you know, voices on the mound or what have you. And you don't hear so much about that anymore, but we have things like cell phone towers and microwave transmissions that are running rampant, obvious noise pollutions like construction and automobile traffic, but even noise pollution that you wouldn't normally think of, because obviously even light emits frequency or waveform that it becomes a type of noise pollution, like fluorescent lighting or TVs or computer screens or cell phones.
So we tune all that out normally is what you're, I think, getting at here.
I think, there's two factors. One, we tune everything out and our observation has become practically nothing anymore. And the other thing, of course, is that it also causes a lot of friction within the environment for the entities to be able to freely use the atmospheric particles to manipulate them to, they're fighting against a whole lot. You know what I'm saying?
Michael, before we go on, you're assuming here that external entities are creating these sounds, right?
Well, based on that assumption, you know, obviously, you know, there's also an idea for, based on the assumption that it's residual sound, and that works a lot with echo, pre-echo, and absorption of sound frequency into porous materials, which we can get into in a minute.
Let's look about the equipment also that you use to capture this. Now, the early tests, the early experiments with this discovery or whatever it was, used the Edison wax cylinder, which is not very high in terms of audio fidelity.
No, absolutely not. And I don't even think the fidelity is the main part. I mean, my research lately, I'm starting to come to the conclusion that it's really all about the audio compression. And the one thing that even the Edison wax cylinder recorder had was a means of compression, of sound compression. You know, basically anything with a diaphragm and a magnet is, you know, a lot of people buy a digital recorder and think they've got a digital recording device when they really don't. They have an analog recording device with a digital compression on the flash drive memory chip that uses to save the recording. I mean, there is a microphone.
Well, actually, here, let's clarify this. What is analog is the playback. So the source of the material may be captured digitally. Okay, but from the recording end to the playback end, there's a lot of analog going on.
Well, yeah, but actually what I'm referring to more so is the construction of the microphone. You know, even in a digital recorder, the microphone's got is basically analog in the fact that it has a diaphragm. You know, anything that pulls from a diaphragm or even an electromagnetic pull from the magnet in the microphone is actually analog.
Okay, so basically here, you capture it with an analog capturing system such as a microphone. If you're playing it back through a headset or a loudspeaker system, again, it's analog. But all the processing of the signal can be otherwise digital.
Right. That's irrelevant. The processing is already captured. You know, remember, we're talking about the capture of the phenomena. Once you get to the point where you're processing it, you may not want any further compression because it's already been imprinted on the flash drive on your digital recorder or magnetic tape on your analog tape players or open reel tape players or what have you. But once it's captured, you may not want any further compression to it. But upon capturing it, that's where your compression comes in. Obviously, once you capture it from the atmosphere, what you're looking for is that compression to actually reconstitute it, if you will. You know, okay. Like the recording of a recorder.
Okay, but if you're using just a plain old cassette recorder, where it's analog through and through, is that any better or worse or what?
Again, I think that the nice thing about digital recorders is they get a higher compression rate than electromagnetic tape. Electromagnetic tape is...
Yeah, but
nice.
You know what? You don't have to compress anything with a digital recording. You can do it lossless. Now, the original recording of this show, before it actually goes out on the air, is lossless. Okay, it's captured 100% fidelity to the original signal. Then, of course, in the broadcasting stage, of course, they compress it. In our podcast version of the show, of course, it's very heavily compressed.
Right, but even in a lossless recording, and this is I guess
yeah, you got to compress it just to record it.
Right, regardless, even if it's lossless, that's a finer point. That doesn't mean it's not compressed because it's still compressed.
And basically, the frequency range is going to be restricted. The signal to noise ratio, the ratio between the signal and the background noise, is going to be present, even though it may be minimal.
Exactly. And the other thing I want to point out about that, too, is that people need to realize that we're kind of anti-audio engineers. In other words, we're the opposite. What our signal is what a typical audio engineer's noise is, and vice versa. What's noise to us is the typical signal that the audio engineer is
looking for.
So
you're saying here basically these EVP effects are heard within the background noise. I mean, when you listen to the playback, do you hear it plain as day, or do you have to actually raise the level of the background noise to separate what's happening?
A lot of times, yeah. It's all in the hiss, exactly. You're absolutely right. And what it is hiss removal, when I clean my EVPs, I handle very gingerly, because hiss removal is where a lot of the bulk of the actual signal's at. Not all of it. And some of the ones you'll hear today, they're very, very clear. You say, well, that's not hiss. No, but a lot of the qualities that give it that human sound, that emotion. You know, one of the reasons that EVP is such a phenomenal source of evidence versus photographs or video, film, or what have you, is the fact that the amount of information you get from audio is greater than anything you could ever see. You can get emotions, you can tell if it's a female, a male, you can tell where they're from, their socioeconomic status. You can tell things about their personality. You may even be able to relate to a lot of them just from the sound of their voice. The connection you get with a piece of audio evidence is far stronger and far greater than anything that you could ever get visually.
Well, all I know is when I went into my initial investigations with Michael, I was not by any stretch a ghost hunter by literal definition. I was very intrigued with the location-specific, aspect of hauntings and residual type, entities, if you will. And so when I went into my work with Michael early on as a videographer, I was pretty skeptical about EVPs. I thought maybe, like we discussed earlier, it was pareidolia. Is that how you say it, Michael? Pareidolia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like seeing faces in clouds. I thought it was an audio form of that. But being there on site and having some of these incredible recordings taken right with me in the room and then listening back to them later, hearing voices literally answering questions or actually showing up in terms of the timeline and answering questions before the question was even asked, that's when I started to really get a sense that there was something to this. And Michael, why don't we go through and start talking about some of your early work in the field and how your thinking has progressed from when you first started out to where you're at today, because you've been all over the world literally doing EVP investigations and haunting investigations. What have you learned in all this time, and how did you start out, and where are you now?
I'll tell you what, before we get to the answer of what you learned, how you got started in this sort of research, let me remind you that we have Michael Esposito, an EVP expert, if there is such a thing as an EVP expert. We'll be hearing some of his sounds in the next hour of the Paracast. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.